Welcome to the Souls Harbor Church podcast. We're glad you're here. We invite you to join us in person at the church at 2601 North Meridian in Wichita, Kansas. We have services on Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday afternoon at 5, and Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. We invite you to come and join us. We're sure you'll be blessed. And now, Pastor Robert Clark.
I said, how many really loves the Lord today? No matter how you feel, what you're going through, and what the situation may be, spiritually, physically, or financially, how many really loves God today? Amen. I want you to, we're going to have a few different scriptures. I'm going to be a little while before I really get into the scriptures this morning, but bear with me, and we'll get in them. Father, we thank you today, Lord, for the presence of God we feel. And Lord, we don't want to be one that asks you to search a book again. God, we want to know, beyond the shadow of any doubt, God, that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I ask you, Lord, to move and God to bless today. And Father, pour out of your Spirit on your children, on your people, in Jesus' name. And we'll be careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Amen and amen. Now, if you would look around us this morning, you're going to find out that most all the congregation this morning, with exception of few, is kind of up in age or there. Maybe all of us have kind of lived our life, or some has got some life to live yet. We hope we all will live longer. We don't know what God's got planned for us, but there have been a lot of disappointments in our lives. There have been a lot of what ifs in our life. And I'm going to be dealing this morning on the subject of what if, what if. And I want you to think about that. Before I get into that, I want to tell you a little story. And actually, it is a real, it is all real. There's nothing fictitious about it, but I want you to listen to it. I want you to apply it to your life. I want you to think about it, what I'm going to be telling you this morning. I want to talk about the eagle this morning for just a little bit. That majestic bird, that great bird, and the wingspan on that, and the eyesight. They tell me that on the eagle that it has two sets of eyelids, and one of them they can actually see from 3 to 5 miles away before they're ever really to feed on something. They see a long distance, but the other eyelid is that when they're facing the sun, they can pull that down, kind of like your sunglasses, and it shades them. And if there's something after them, they can fly into the sun. The sun will blind whoever is coming after them, but they can fly into it because God has given that there. Then there's another important thing about the birds, about the middle of their life. And they somewhere in the middle, they live, a lot of them live 50, 60, maybe some even 70 years old. And about in the middle of their life, something begins to happen to them, and they begin to molt. They begin to lose their feathers, and they begin to lose their strength. And when they used to swoop down and they pick up a large fish and carry it away, they're not able to do that anymore. But the load becomes so heavy that sometimes they pick out something they're not able to bear. They have to drop it, and they have to let it go. Now, kind of look about your life today. So they begin to molt in the middle of their life. And when they begin to molt, they tell us that they go to a faraway area where there are no other eagles whatsoever, and they land because they're not able to fly like they used to. They're not able to soar like they used to. And so they find a place where they can just pick up a little bit here, a little bit there to eat. They go there literally to die. They feel like that their life is over, they're not able to provide for themselves anymore. They're not able to do what they used to do. So they feel like they've gone away. They want to be alone. They're just going to die. But then they say that the other eagles that are able to fly, they congregate and they all get a little bit of meat, and they go around and they drop that meat where that bird is, and they keep feeding that bird until all of a sudden the feathers begin to come back again. When it all comes back, then he is able to soar again within the heavens. And that kind of is like our older people, or our aged people, or our senior citizens that we are today. We come to a place within our life where we feel like that our life is over. We have nothing nothing else to offer, and we just feel like we just like to go somewhere and die because there is nothing left for you and I to do. And then all of a sudden, God begins to feed you a little bit and begins to energize you a little bit, and pretty soon you're able to soar again, and you're able to function what God wants you to do in this life. And so we're going to deal with that just a little bit here today. I want to deal on what if in our life today. What does it mean if we could look at our life? What if I'd have done this? What if I'd have done that? Or what if this would have happened? Or what if this had not happened in my life? And we began to think about all the what ifs in our life, and we center more on what ifs than what we're actually entertaining today within our life. Some years ago, Val's daughter, our daughter, we were sitting at home, and it was late in the evening, and all of a sudden we got a call, and her daughter was hysterical, and she said, "Mother, would you come quickly?" And we went over there, and her husband had hung himself in the garage, and they didn't get to him in time, and he passed away, and the sad thing about it was she had just went out and talked to him a little bit and visited with him, and everything was fine. It didn't seem like that anything was wrong, and he said, "Honey, go ahead, go to bed. I'll be there in a little while." She went in, she went to bed, she laid there, and he didn't come, and so she went out, and when she went out, she found that he had literally hung himself, that he passed away, and perhaps unsaved, unready to meet God. So she said, "You know, there was a lot of what ifs in my mind. What if I hadn't have stayed in bed so long? What if I'd have went out a little sooner? What if I'd have done this? What if I'd have done that?" So all of these things began to plague us within our life today. What if you had done maybe what God wanted you to do in the beginning, but somehow we drifted away? What if all of these things? Well, when you begin to look at the meaning of this word today, it means if I had only known about something within my life, perhaps I would have changed that, or perhaps I would have done something else. And I've got a lot of what ifs in my life. I really do. I've got a lot of what if, Lord, if I would have done this, if I'd have prayed more, if I'd have read the Bible more, if I'd have witnessed more, God, if I'd have done this, if I'd done that, you know, within our life. But there is nothing we can do about what is in the past. Of all of the what ifs within our life, they are gone, and we cannot recall them. But I wish that I could. I wish that I could, because some years ago, I'm sitting in a restaurant with some of the church people, and there comes a call, and my son and Branson, "Dad, would you come quickly? Vicky, that she has fallen. She's had a massive stroke, and it doesn't look like she's going to live, and she passed away." And I thought, God, what if I would have been there? Lord, what if I'd have done a little bit more for her? God, what if I visited her more? God, what if? And all this began to torment me. Lord, what if I'd have done these things? Would it have changed? Would there have been a difference in her life or in my life? And so I'd wrestle with that, and then God began to deal with me. So some years later, I'm sitting in the parking lot at Penny's. My wife went in, so I was on the phone. I called my daughter-in-law. My son had been very sick, and I said, "How's Mark doing?" She said, "Dad, he's about the same." And I said, "Well, you tell him I'll be there Monday. I've got to take care of service Sunday, but I'm going to be there Monday, and I'll be there with him." And she said, "All right, I'll tell him." And I'm sitting there. 15 minutes later, my phone rang. I picked it up, and she said, "Dad, Mark is gone. He's already passed away. He's gone." And I sat there, and I thought, "Oh, God, what if I would have been sooner? God, what if maybe I would have missed church that Sunday, and I would have been there with my son? God, would it have made a difference if he didn't know that I was there with him?" You know, and we're tormented with things. God, what if in my my life. And when I look at our older people, our seniors today, there are many things in your life that you're dealing with today. God, what if I had have done this? What if I had not have done this? God, what would these things have changed my life? Lord, what if in my life today? Have you ever thought about that? Be honest with me. I know you have. I have. God, what if? Lord, these things within my life today, would they really have changed my life? I thought about the leper in the scripture, that what if he had not believed when he said, Lord, if it's your will, God, you're able to heal me. What if he had not have believed? He would have died. I thought about blind Bartimaeus. What if he had not cried out? What if would have happened if he'd listened to the people and said, Bartimaeus, keep quiet. Quit your shouting. You're causing a ruckus. What if he would have not spoke up? He'd have been blind to the day of his death, but he spoke up and God heard and answered prayer. What if in your life today are we looking at? What if Lazarus, if Jesus would not have come? What if would have happened within his life? We begin to look at all of these things in our life today. And if you're like me and you look back at your life and I'm well up in age, and many of you here are well up in age, and you look back in your life, and many things in your life you're disappointed in. You really are. I'm disappointed in some things that I done that may have hindered my ministry. Not out and out sin, but maybe a lack of doing something, or lack of witnessing, or whatever it may be. And we look back in our life and we wonder, God, and we're tormented by that thing. The devil was kind of like that eagle. We feel like that we've molted. We feel like we're of no use. We feel like we're of no good anymore. And we just want to go away somewhere and not be joined unto the saints of God. We get to feel like that. There's times I've told my wife, I said, you know, I'd like to go on an island somewhere all by myself and just sit there, just die on that island and not have anything more to worry or to think about. We get to that place as that eagle is. But God wants you to know today that you can't do anything but repent of those things in the past. There is a place for you in the kingdom of God today. God wants to use you with the ability that you have, whatever it is. I felt like God spoke to me to speak to you that no matter where you're at in your life, that there are some value in your life. Whatever you are, sick, afflicted, downhearted, discouraged, or you have no money, whatever it is in your life, God wants me to tell you he has a value in your life. There is something he wants you to do, and all you have to do is just give what you got, and God will use it for his glory. And don't be tormented by what you should have been, or what you could have been, or if the ifs in your life. Don't let the devil torment you. Their past, you can't do anything about it. But now God has made provision for you that he can use you for his glory. I thought about Brother Lee. You know, he mentioned about that car accident where there was a young boy that was killed. And I got to thinking, God, what if that the lady driving that car would have been just a little bit sooner? Or what if, God, she'd have been a little bit later? Or what if that little boy hadn't run out? Or maybe what if that happened? What if, Lord, it would have changed everything. She would not be tormented. The little boy would be alive. In a matter of seconds, things began to change within her life. But God wants you to know that he moves with every change within your life today. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're doing. He knows how discouraged. He knows how the devil torments you of what you should have done or what you could have done. Or the marriage that could have been saved and maybe it wasn't saved. Or maybe it couldn't have been saved and you wished it had been. Or whatever within your life today. God wants you to lay aside that weight and that sin. The eagle had to lay aside the weight that was too heavy for him to carry. And God wants you to lay aside that weight. Is too weight for you to carry. It's too heavy for you to carry. You've got to lay it down and realize there is some value to your life for the glory of God. Come on, say amen today. It doesn't make a difference how old you are. I told Sister Frieda this morning on the platform, it looks like our church is an old folks home, you know, with all of us, you know. Me leading the bunch, I'm older than anybody here, you know. With me leading the bunch, we look like we're an old folks home. But you know what? This little Souls Harbor Church, with all the elderly people and all those that have served God, has conquered the devil by the Spirit of the living God. Our church is dead free. The Lord is blessing God, people. I thought about when Brother Sister Leonard was singing there. I thought, you know, during our mortgage burning, we had a group come in singing, and I thought what they were singing this morning, we've got a better group singing than what we had come into the church. And I'm not running them down. I'm just saying that our singers, it's about as good as there is. You know what? God has brought them into our church. Amen. Why? Because there is value in their lives, no matter how old they are. Brother Leonard, I'm not saying how old you are, but we are getting old, brother. Sister Frieda, you know, she comes waddling in this morning, well, kind of slow, you know. And but that's the way life is, you know. So God, we got to realize there is some value within our life. Now listen to me very carefully, and I don't have nearly enough time to get through this message, but what if this morning that you didn't train up your children the way they should go? What if, you know, their life, and you look at your children the way that they are today, and I look at my children the way they are today, and I think, you know, there's a lot of places I could have done better. I was telling Brother Jimmy the other day, we were talking, I said, you know, I said, if I have one regret in the ministry, my biggest regret was that I did not spend enough time with my children. Pardon me, I had to work to supplement my income most of my ministry, and then with the working for the Lord, I didn't have time to spend with my children, to go fishing or whatever it was. I wished, and if I could change things, I would have changed them. And but I can't change them. But what I'm saying this morning, you that have little children, you need to bring them up in the fear of God. And I know that you're doing that, but I want to encourage you to keep doing that. What this morning, if you were not faithful to your job, you would lose your job? What if you didn't pay your car payment? You would lose it. You see, there are consequences in our life and things in our life that if we don't do them, there are consequences in our life that we're going to have to deal with in the loss of something, or the gain of something, or whatever it is within our life. There is that, and we say, what if I would have done? Well, all of these things are very important in the secular world, in our life, in our life today. All of these things are very important, and we can look back and say, well, Lord, forgive me, and they're under the blood. We don't have to worry about them anymore, and God can take care of the grief, and God can take care of the sorrow, and all of those things. And I think about my brother that died because he smoked too much, and my sister died because of tobacco, and my brother-in-law died also of tobacco, and I think, what if they hadn't smoked? I spoke to them and dealt with them. What if they hadn't done that? They would have been alive today. So we began to look at all these things with our life, and we say, what if? Well, those things are important, but now they don't make any difference in our life whatsoever, because we can change them or we can't change them. But the one thing I really want to deal with you this morning about is your eternal soul that God has given you and I. That's the thing this whole message is coming down to, that I want to deal with about your soul, that eternal soul you got. And I've told you, Brother Leonard told you, Brother Dennis told you, Brother Jimmy has told you or is telling you, that your soul is an eternal entity. It's going to live forever. That body, if the Lord tarries, is going to die, going to return to dust. But the soul that God has given you is going to remain forever and ever and ever, aeon, time without end. When time comes to an end, that soul is still going to live. And it depends on what you do with that soul as to where it's going to spend eternity. And I want to deal with that this morning very carefully in the Word of God. What if today, what if you neglect that soul that you have today? What if that you neglect giving your heart to God, or or giving your spirit to the Lord. What if in your life that you don't go to church, that you don't read your Bible, or you don't pray? What if all of these things, it's going to affect that eternal soul? Yeah, the body will go, but it's going to attack that eternal soul. So I want you to look at the scripture this morning in the book of Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 3. It said, how shall we escape if? I want you to look at that word. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken of by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that heard him. What if you neglect that eternal soul that you have? There's consequences in your life if you neglect that plan of salvation. Now let me tell you something. You're not going to go through this life without God dealing with you at some point in time. It'll either be at night, it'll be in the church, it'll be driving down the road, it'll be in the grocery store, it'll be with somebody, heard me in the movie theater, it doesn't make it ever. You're not going to get through this life without the Holy Ghost dealing with you to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You will not escape conviction in this life. God would not be just to allow you to go without giving you an opportunity to accept him and serve him as your eternal, as his, your eternal Savior. Now look at this. How are you going to escape if you neglect all these things and don't do anything about them? Here's what the Bible said, Matthew 16 and 26. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If you neglect your salvation, giving your life to Jesus, and let me tell you something, it is the most pleasant, most wonderful, most glorious thing to be a Christian. Amen. It is a peaceful, it is a joy, it is a confidence. I cannot find the right vocabulary to explain to you what it is to serve the Lord. It is a marvelous thing today to be a child of God. Yes, there's trials. Yes, there's persecution. Yes, there's tests within your life. That goes away. It goes with life. But you have the Lord Jesus. The Bible said the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they're saved. Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpent and scorpion and all the powers of the enemy, and nothing's going to by any means hurt you. But if you neglect accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you don't have this strength or this energy when it comes to your time that you're going to draw your last breath, or your heart is going to beat the last beat, and you're not saved, and you have neglected that. All of your what ifs are gone. You don't have any more opportunity. When you die, as the Bible said, as a tree falleth, so shall it lie. That's the way it's going to be throughout eternity, lost and undone without God. So what's it going to profit you if you gain the whole world and you lose your own soul? What's going to take place within your life? I want to show you what's going to take place with your life. I asked Sister Frieda, I called her, I said, would you sing, do you know it? Would you sing this song? Yes, I know it. Yes, I will sing it. You'll understand where I'm going with this message here this morning. So I wanted to take you to the book of Revelation chapter 20. And the first three verses of that, the Bible said, John said, I saw an angel come down from heaven, and he had a chain and he had a key in his hand. He came down and he got a hold of Satan, and it called him Satan, it called him the devil, it called him two or three different names there. And the Bible said that the angel took the chain and he bound him up before he cast him into the lake of fire. And then when he cast him in, the Bible said he shut him up. One angel of the Lord was able to get a hold of the devil and chain him, shut him up, and cast him into the lake of fire. So we know where he's at right now. But I wanted to look a little farther in Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 15. And let me read it to you this morning, if you will. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone. Now brimstone is an element that is a phosphorus fire that it'll attach to your body, and it'll it'll burn and eventually will destroy the body, but in hell, it's not going to destroy anything. It's going to be a constant burning forever. And he said in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead small and the great stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. Amen. Listen to me. According to the works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. He said, this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I'm sitting at my desk and I'm studying this and I'm getting a cold chill, kind of feeling like running up and down my spine. And I'm looking at that and I'm thinking about trying to put in my mind the scene that it's going to be at the great white throne judgment of God. Here is God, the Lord Jesus, sitting on the throne. Here is two books that are there. The one book, this recording everything, and the other book, which is called the Book of Life. I noticed a multitude of people. Now, I don't understand how God's going to do it. I can't fathom how all the multitudes from Adam even unto this day that they're going to stand before God. I don't know how God's going to do it. I don't try to figure that part out. But the Bible said that we're going to stand before Him individually, and we're going to have our name either called, and we're going to go to one place or another. And I thought about what a feeling it would be to stand there, and you know that you neglected the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that you neglected the call of God or whatever it was within your life, and you refused to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you're standing there, and you know when He opens the book of life that your name is not going to be there. You're hoping beyond hope. You're praying beyond prayer. You're doing everything. You're just in such a situation. You're saying, my God, I hope my name is there. But when He comes to the end of the book and your name is not called, you're going to find your name in another book. And He's going to say unto you, you workers of iniquity, depart from me. I never knew you. I don't know anything about you. Now, I don't know how this is going to happen. I have no idea. But let's say my wife and I are standing there together. And I don't know. Just give me a little leeway here this morning. I'm standing there with my wife. And her name is called. And I'm standing there beside her. And I know that I haven't given my life to God. And so the Lord would speak unto her and say, Val, enter thou into the joys of the Lord. And the angels come and take her from me, and she goes into eternal life. And I stand there and I know that my name's not in the book. And I know that I'm going to hear Him say unto me, you didn't serve me, you didn't accept me, you didn't love me. Because of all of this, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. For I never do you. I don't know if she might look back and with a broken heart and say, honey, I wish you could come. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to be. I have no idea how it's going to be. Let me kind of use my mind this morning. Maybe you're standing there with your children and you're going in and your children that are of age, that have come to age and have accepted the Lord, and they're standing there. And the Lord tells you that it's all right for you to go in, but your children can't go because you didn't teach them how to serve God, how to love God, how to worship God. And now all of them children are going to be lost and dying without Christ. Or what if your husband goes in and you're not there? What if all of this happens? We look at the ifs this morning. What if all of this happens within your life? This part is going to happen. The judgment of God is going to take place in the book of Revelation. It's not an if or it's just a matter of when that it's going to take place. Amen. And it all depends on the decision you make in this life to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And you might stand there and you might say, God, would you search the book again? God, are you sure that my name is not there? And he would look at you and say, your iniquity, your sin, your abomination, your neglect, your rebellion that you refuse to love me and to serve me and to honor me and accept me as your Savior, you're going to go and be cast into the lake of fire where the devil, the false prophets, the imps of hell are going to be and going to be tormented. Now, folks, I don't know if you understand. Brother Leonard probably knows this more because he was burnt very badly in his early life. But I can't imagine what it would be to be in a place of where that the fire burns, but you never burn up. Where the Bible said, where the worm dieth not, you're going to be in a situation throughout all eternity in a blackness where there is no light, where the devil is and all of his fury, all of the ungodliness, the sin, every botchment of hell is going to be there. And you're going to be there throughout eternity, lost and undone without God. And it all was predicated on the time that you received an invitation like this. And you might say, Lord, what if I would have accepted you at that personal time? God, what if I would have changed my life and quit living so loosely? What if? God, search the book again. Search the book again, but you know it's all over with. And all of your ifs are gone. And you're standing naked before God. And you hear him say, either well done, thou good and faithful servant. Or you hear him say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And you're cast in the eternal lake of fire, lost and undone without God, because you simply neglected to give your life to Christ in this life we're living in. God, would you search the book again? I don't know how you feel, but I'll tell you in my heart, I shudder. I shudder to stand before God that way. I'm going to tell you an illustration that I've told you before, but I want to bring this point so much to your heart. I pastored a church in Omaha, Nebraska. We're in one of the greatest revivals of any church that I ever had. The conviction was so strong that you nearly could reach out and it was almost tangible that you could feel the conviction in that evangelistic meeting. And I had a young woman there and her husband, a daughter of a minister friend of mine that had gone home to be with the Lord. And the conviction was so strong, and I looked back at her and I knew that she was unsaved. I knew she didn't know the Lord. Her face had paled, it had turned white, her knuckles, she was holding on so tight to the pew in front of her that her knuckles had turned white, and you could tell that it was the horriblest feeling that was within her life. And I pled with her, I said, would you give your heart to God? Would you give the heart, Pastor, not right now, not right now, not right now. We lived in the basement of the church, and she went out the door and they sat in the car and she couldn't get away from the conviction. She come back in trying to use her conscience. She said, Pastor, let me tell you why I can't accept the Lord right now. I want to and I will, but let me tell you why I can't right now. She said, Daddy left me an inheritance and we're going to go out to California. We're going to buy this motel and I'm going to come back and I'm going to give my life to God. I'm going to serve him. I said, don't take that chance. Don't take that opportunity. Don't do it. And I felt this compelling situation like never before, that some impending doom was there. I said, don't do it. Well, Pastor, it'll be all right. I'm going to do it. They walked out of the church. They went to California. A few days later, I'm sitting there and a phone rings. It said, Pastor, come quick. And I said, what's wrong? It said, that couple you had in church, yes. Outside of Lincoln, Nebraska, they lost control of the car. She was thrown through the windshield and killed immediately. Her husband had his spine severed. If he's alive today, he's a total invalid. They never did get what they wanted to get in California. If they bought it, they never was. But that woman went out into eternity, lost and undone without God. She had an opportunity. There was never conviction in my life that I ever saw it unless the time when I got saved, that God so dealt with her, and I felt the doom. I felt that that she had to give her life to God, but she put it off one more time. I am going to get saved, but I'm going to do it at my time. And that's the attitude of people today. I'll do it, God, when I get ready. Lord, I'll do it when it's my time, but I've got a little more pleasure I want to enjoy. I've got a little more sin that I want to do. God, I've got a little more of this. I want a little more of the habit that I've got. I want a little more of this, God, but I'm going to do it, Lord. You know I'm going to do it, but God, I want to do it when I get ready. That don't work. One of these days, before you know it, and you know not the time nor the hour, your heart's going to skip a beat. The blood's going to refuse to flow through your brain. You're going to lay there an invalid and unable to do anything or think straight. There's coming a day. Some hour at night, you're going to wake up. You can't breathe. And you think, oh God, if only I had accepted the Lord. And you'll say, God, search the book again. But your name is not there. It only isn't there when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And He puts your name in the book. Then you don't have to worry about the heart missing a beat. You don't have to worry about it, because when it does, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us on the Souls Harbor Church podcast from Wichita, Kansas. We invite you to join us in church on Sunday mornings at 10:30, Sunday afternoons at 5, and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. We're here at 2601 North Meridian in Wichita, Kansas. God bless you and have a wonderful day.